Okay, so my first question is, many people consider the work that you and Denny O'Neill did on Green Lantern and Green Arrow to be among the most groundbreaking of the 70s. And so I'm kind of wondering, looking back, did you realize the potential legacy of those story arcs?
I didn't care. I mean, I was doing comic books and I was telling stories, and I didn't like to do things that were insignificant. I don't think Denny liked to either. But I don't really like to do something that people have seen before, or have read before, or have experienced before. I would rather do something that people find new, are shocked by, or surprised by, or taken by. So that my goal is this, and unfortunately in all of this, to satisfy myself, and not to break ground or any of the rest of it. I don't care about that stuff. I just care about making myself happy.
So then, what are the other projects that you've worked on that have probably made you the happiest?
Well, I did a lot of work for the National Lampoon, Son of God Comics, VD Comics, a lot of satirical stuff. I've designed amusement park rides like the Terminator T2 3D ride, part of the Spider-Man ride. I worked on Warp. I did the costumes and the on the stage set, a stage set that had never been done before, and a way of presenting that had never been done before. I won the Drama Desk Award for that year. I like doing the Superman versus Muhammad Ali comic book as a giant comic book, because it really allowed me to express the comic book format. I like doing Dead Man because he was dead. Now he's alive. I don't know why, how exactly that works. And Dead Man was a great story. I like doing stories that people haven't seen. I like doing, I like the work I did for Warren, that were these series of short stories that were sort of horror stories, but weren't really horror stories, each one done in a different style. I like to do experimental things. I don't like to do the mundane. And I like to find new ways of doing things. One of the reasons I like to do covers is that I get to express new ideas. I did a series of painted covers for Tarzan. I mean, really, my life is filled with doing new and different things, but not escaping into impressionistic art or surrealistic art, or going into creating another art form that people either don't understand or don't care about. I like staying in an understandable art form that people can enjoy. So it's my communication with them. That's what it's all about for me.
Now, your Continuity Studios also has directed motion comics and done a lot of your work. So now, when you're doing that work, do you feel that that's just a natural progression of how you started, or is it something that you enjoy more, perhaps?
No. Doing that sort of stuff for me is breaking new ground. It doesn't necessarily mean it's new or dynamic or wonderful. It's sometimes you do things for the sake of breaking the new ground, even though you know it's mundane. Like, say, taking animatics, I've done for advertising for 30 years, into comic books. Now, from my point of view, it's mundane and regular, because I've done it for advertising people for 30 years. For comic books, it's new. So now I've created a revolution in comics by doing these things that isn't really a revolution at all. It's common practice in advertising. So that also is a new idea, taking something that's common practice in one place and applying it to a comic book. I mean, wouldn't you like to be able to open a comic book and have it appear in 3D without having put glasses on? Is there a technology for that? I don't know, but I'd like to do that. I'd like to do things that, I mean, there's a thing that is extant recently where you create three-dimensional objects with your computer and honing them in on a piece of printed graphic that's on your cover. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere, but it seems like a really interesting direction. Holograms seem like an interesting direction, but they, at the same time, they seem like a dead end. But they're not a dead end. You just have to do it right. You have to find ways of doing it. So technology is something that you mix in with what you do like. We mix in computers for motion comics. So the motion comics become a totally new thing that it seemed as though nobody ever thought of before. Of course, I've been trying to sell it to DC and Marvel for 10 years. So, I mean, nothing is new. It's just a remix of what we already know. And I like that a lot. I like to do it. I like to surprise people. I like people to be taken aback by a thought process that they never experienced and turns out to be better than the one that they've never done. I love that. I just get such a charge.
So I'm just going to quickly ask you about what do you think of DC relaunching all the titles, especially Detective Comics?
I find it to be worrisome. It seems as though they're trying to ace creatives out, but maybe they're not. It seems as though they're trying to make it very difficult for small publishers to stay in business, but maybe they're not. I think it's an attack on the lower tier of the Marvel comics, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's done in all innocence. Maybe it's just like, we're going to try this. Or maybe it's a conscious effort to reclaim their first position in comics by doing something that I have to consider questionable. I mean, I don't want to take them down for it, and I don't want to majorly criticize them, but I do have to say that on the surface of it, it seems to be uncomfortably suspicious. And I would prefer that people could feel better about it. And I think that small publishers in particular have something to sweat about here. It bothers me a lot.
So last couple of questions. I just want to ask you to, if you can sum up the expanding Earth. Three.
Well, it's not the expanding Earth, it's the growing Earth. Why do you care about it?
I was just interested because
on a personal basis.
Or? Yeah, I mean we've kind of done some reading about you and kind of going into focus because I was also interested in They Spoke Out, Voices Against the Holocaust.
Well, I think people would tend to laugh at me about the growing Earth theory and take me more seriously on the Holocaust stuff. I'll answer the question. I don't mind. We have to. This is not really for your regular audience, but you have to assume that the matter portion of the universe was created somehow out of seemingly nothing. So if you understand that, because it can't have been created out of something, because when did it start? I mean, if you assume that it always was and always will be world without end, amen, that's religious. If you assume it started out with no matter, then you have to come up with a mechanism that provides that matter. And nobody has come up with that mechanism. Nor did I ever think that I would ever come up with that mechanism until I had to deal with, or I felt I had to deal with, Samuel Warren Carey's theory on the expanding Earth. Samuel Warren Carey was a geologist. He was not a physicist. Had he been a physicist, he never would have said expanding Earth because it's a ridiculous title. But if he had been a physicist, he might have said growing Earth, except he never would have come up with that theory because it takes a geologist to notice that the Earth is growing. But if you are a geologist and you're as smart as Sam Carey, you notice that the Earth is growing because there's no deep ocean on the Earth that's older than 180 million years old. And successively, there's 50% of the deep ocean is only 50 million years old, or between 50 and 60 million years old. So it seems as though the Earth is, one, growing, two, growing exponentially, and that the oceans are spreading exponentially, unless you don't believe facts, which is fine. So if that's the case, you're left with a problem. First of all, you have to prove that the Earth is growing, which nobody wants to believe, because geology had a big battle with Samuel Warren Carey, in which they felt that they won and then ignored him and didn't explore it further, which was a mistake. It's always a mistake when you don't explore further. Then you have the problem of, let's just say he's right, then how then do you apply that to the universe? You can't just say the earth grows, you have to say the moon grows and all the planets grow. You have to say the sun grows, you have to say solar systems grow, galaxies grow, and the universe grows. Well, that actually matches what we see. The universe does seem to be growing. Some people say expanding, but that's just as stupid as when a geologist says the earth is expanding. The universe can't be expanding unless you can prove that it exploded. Well, you can't prove that it exploded because 15 years ago we showed that it's moving outward faster all the time, exponentially faster. Well, that's not how an explosion works. An explosion slows down. So clearly that's wrong. Well, now you're left with the original problem. What is the universe doing? Well, what is a tree doing? What is a baby doing? What is a giant jellyfish doing? They're all growing. So if we're in the ocean of the universe and matter is growing, then we're looking at a very simple phenomenon. Very simple phenomenon is that the matter portion of the universe is increasing and therefore taking up more space and seemingly growing. Not growing like an animal, but it's growing, it's increasing. Then it must have started very small, very tiny. And if it did, then there is an explanation for that, and you have to figure out that explanation. You have to look through science and see, one, if it's only going to be discovered in the future, or we already know it. Is there a process of matter creation that exists now? Well, you know, the funny thing is there is. There is a process of matter creation. It's called pair production. And not only is there such a process, but scientists are exploring it in their colliders to discover whether or not pair production happened in a massive way in the new universe, in the universe that's being created. They are actually talking about it, something that I'm talking about on a fairly regular basis. They are also discussing, but they've run into problems that magically I haven't run into. I have found the answers to those problems. Now, that's going to upset the physicists, but I've already upset all the geologists in the world, so who gives a crap? Physicists are going to have to deal with the concept that their general theories are wrong and that we have to use pair production as the beginning of an explanation of how matter is created. If all of that is true on the physics end, we come back to the geology of the Earth. And that goes to, if that process is taking place at the core of the Earth on a regular and active basis, regular, active, and mundane basis, then not only is the Earth growing, we can explain exactly how it's growing. Not only is the Earth growing, but Jupiter's growing and becoming the meteorite umbrella of Earth. That's why we don't get big meteorite hits. All the planets are growing, all suns are growing, and the universe is growing, and now we're starting to actually understand the universe. The bad part of all of that is that's coming from a comic book artist and writer. That shits. You know, it's like, wow. Can't we put it in the hands of somebody who's smart?
Well, I really appreciate your time, and I don't want to take any more up of it, but I would love to talk to you further about that.